Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Have your cell phones, if you could put them in the silent and off positions. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, The Faithfulness of a Father. And by the way, happy Father's Day to everyone. Some of your fathers, grandfathers. Anybody a great grandfather in here? Oh, we got a great grandfather in here. Amen. Yes. Is there a great-great-grandfather? Okay. Probably not. Okay, amen, amen, amen. Well, we want to hopefully bless all the fathers around. The lights are on, brother. Yeah, they're on already. That's okay. Amen. Okay. So are we there to Galatians? Here we go. And the Word of God reads, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Notice it says, it closes that scripture by saying, and such there is no law. That means it's endless. You can love as much, be good as much, faithful. There's no limit. There's no limitations. There's not, I'm only going to love you so much today and that's it. No. It goes on and on and on and on. There's no end to it. And so we're going to look at this study because this study is to build us men up. I think a couple of Sundays ago, we were lifting up the sisters, right? I said, brothers, you ain't out of the woodworks yet. So let's look at this up here. Faithfulness is one of the most important qualities in a person's life. How many agree to that? And so we need to be able to believe what others say or promise to do. Are you a yes brother or a nay brother? Or are you one of those kind of brothers that say, yeah, I'll see you Sunday and never show up? And so they must be able to trust and to be known as trustworthy. Amen? Unfaithfulness is a form of deception or hypocrisy. Remember that. It also leads to the feelings of disappointment and betrayal when we discover that our trust in someone has been misplaced. Have you found that in someone in your life ever before? We all experience that, don't we? I'm hoping in this message, we will build each other up so that we can be strong and fortified, that we don't have to go down an opposite path where God has us on. As Christians, we should always strive to be faithful to God and to others, especially husbands to your wives, amen, and to your children. And so, saints, remember what Jacob considered all that the Lord had done for him because he prayed. Didn't he pray? One of the things that needs to be established for us fathers in the times and the days that we live in is a prayer life. How many of you can honestly say you have a prayer life? Amen. It doesn't have to be 4 hours. You know, 10 minutes here, 5 minutes here. 30 minutes here. Whenever you got that time, just to get before God. And so let's look at that in Scripture. Let's go to Genesis 32. Look at this. In Genesis 32, 9 through 10. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. You see, he cried out. He cried out. We as fathers need to cry out when situations arise. Many of us will come into situations where, guess what? I never seen this before. I need help in this area. And instead of lashing out, instead of backbiting the situation, we go to God. Can I get an amen? We seek God. You see, God is always faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful. So he's always going to be faithful. But we must pay attention to him. Because you know God is always speaking. We should consider the many ways he has proven himself faithful in your life and my life. And then respond with gratitude. Respond with gratitude on what he has done. Let's look at this up here. Scripture affirms God's faithfulness. When we go to the Word of God, it's also known as the Law of Liberty. When we go and search out the Scriptures, we're going to see on a continual basis that God is faithful. God is awesome. God is powerful. He's omniscient, omnipotent. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. Praise God. He's omnipresent. He fills all space. He was in your room for those 40 days. Oh, yes. Oh, come on. He's there with us. So let's look at Scripture to see God's faithfulness. In Deuteronomy 7:9, look at this. Know therefore that the Lord your God, that he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousand generations and those who love him and keep his commandments. Turn to your neighbor and say, we are that generation. So as you can see throughout all the generations, now it comes to our generation, God has kept his covenant. He still loves us, doesn't he? Listen, I don't care how many mistakes men make. I don't care how many times we fall short. He's there to pick us up. Amen. Do you know that God will never give up on you? Amen. You know, we have an old wives' tale that God's up there mad with a bat waiting for you to, oh, there he is. Bam. That's not how God works. You know, I didn't find out till later on as an adult that he's in love with me. He's in love with me. He's in love with you. Oh, yes. But the world has painted God as an ugly picture, that he's a mad, grouchy God up there. No. He created this world so that we can exist on this planet. He's given us what? Breath. He's given us life. He's given us clothing. Food, shelter, a wonderful family he's put together. He has done it all. Can we be thankful for that? Amen. Look what King David wrote in Psalms 33. Look at this. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in what? Faithfulness. We're looking at the word faithful because I want to remind us men that we are to be faithful in all that we do. Can I get amen? Amen. It starts at being the priest of the home. If you're the priest of the home, you will be faithful to the home. You'll be faithful to your wife. You'll be faithful to your children. Can I get amen? Amen. And that's when God can really use you. And God will bless your family. Look in 36:5 right up here. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Woo! Isn't that something? God's faithfulness is endless. It's endless toward us. Thank you, God. And then King David wrote this in 119. Look at this. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Not just the Pepsi generation. All generations. Can I get amen? And you wouldn't think that faithfulness is mentioned in Lamentations. Lamentations is a book of mourning, of weeping, especially when Jerusalem was destroyed and taken into captivity. And Solomon wrote a lot of these lamentations. But look what it says in Lamentations 3:22. The Lord's loving kindness is indeed what? Never cease. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Caleb, don't you sing a song called Great is Thy Faithfulness? Yeah. Oh, yes. There's a song, isn't there? Great is Thy Faithfulness. And then Timothy wrote this. If we are faithless, Jesus, remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. You see, this is what I love about God. When we fail, he doesn't fail. We can always go to the one that won't fail us. Can I get amen? Amen. This is why I say, listen, this is, happens in churches a lot. People will disappoint one another. Some people disappoint one another to the point where they just cut and they leave. They're mad. They got a huff and puff. I've seen it all the time. But they didn't have their eyes on Jesus. You see, if their eyes were on Jesus, this issue wouldn't have happened like that. But because their eyes weren't on Jesus, they looked at each other as the enemy. But you have to come to an understanding. If you're looking at man, man will fail you. Man will fail you. You love your spouse, you entreat them, but they won't be like God, who is always faithful. So if one fails you, if your child fails you when you discipline them and you tell them not to do that no more, and then they do it again, and then they do it again, and then again, we know that we fail each other, but God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful. He'll never fail us. So we go to the one who won't fail us. Amen? And when you take your eyes off one another and look up to God, then guess what? Now I know how to deal with this issue. I'm going to deal with it through the eyes of God. Amen. I got to do it through the eyes of God. Because if it's my own eyes, I'll chew it all up. So saints, although our faithfulness wavers, as I'm mentioning here, these scriptures that they affirm that God is faithful all the time. Even the sin of his children will not nullify it. Do you know we're going to sin, right? Do you know there's no one perfect down here, right? We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to soil our pants. Oh, come on. Yes, we will. Yes, yes, even adults. Oh, that's right. And because the Lord is immutable, he's never changing. None of his attributes change. Did you know that you can have a fierce argument with someone? You can even build up a wall of bitterness towards someone. But do you know that God doesn't change toward you? God still loves you? His endless love for you? And that's why, saints of God, he can be confident. All of us can be confident that he'll keep all of his promises toward you and I. His faithfulness is a certainty when you and I learn to rest upon Him. And then He says this, which brings us great comfort, right up here in Hebrews 13:5. Look at that. I will what? Never leave you, nor what? Forsake you. How many can take rest assured of that? He'll never leave you. Never forsake you. Saints, when we can have that type of confidence, we know that we can have that type of security within our mind, body, and soul. How many want to reassure yourselves the security regarding your mind, body, and soul? Then believe and apply the Scripture. The Holy Spirit works to express within us the qualities and the consistency of God's nature living inside us. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, then God wants to operate through your body. Can I get amen? And show you great and mighty things. He'll give you ears to hear and eyes to see. You will start to learn God's faithfulness through the power of the Holy Spirit and by the written word of God. And we should be the ones who claim to do and to know. Aren't you so blessed to know that because God is living inside of us, that we now know Him? Turn to your neighbor and say, God knows you. Listen, when a surrendered life surrenders to the Lord, and then the Holy Spirit comes in, you are forever His. Your life will never be the same. And you'll have joy unspeakable and full of... How many love to be in the presence of God? Listen, we should be who we claim to be and to do what we commit to do. To give any other impression is deception. Can I get amen? Anything else is deception. But if we do it God's way, people are going to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. But none of us have the strength, the fortitude, and the faithfulness to live the Christian life apart from the enablement of the Holy Spirit. You can't operate in your own strength and your own understanding. It won't work that way. Can I get amen? Even Christ's disciples couldn't do it. That's why Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until what? Until they were clothed with power from on high. And what day was that? Pentecost. That's right. On the day of Pentecost, they're all in one accord. And then a rushing mighty wind came in. And what it appeared upon them? Fire of tongues. And the Holy Ghost came in. And they were never the same. They were never the same. And so one of the reasons why we need the power, as I'm mentioning, is to enable you. You know, when you buy a brand new computer and you're downloading software, you have to enable certain software programs, certain apps. You got to enable it so that it can operate. Amen? So when the Holy Ghost comes in, He enables you, hallelujah, to see the things that are in heaven and written in the Word of God. You need the power to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. You need the power to intercede on someone's behalf. Just like what we shared earlier with our brother, the power of the Holy Spirit sent us to his room to pray. To pray for that miracle. Amen? Look what it says in Luke right up here. In Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are what? Endued with power from on high. You see, they needed the power. And for the rest of the apostles' life after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, They were powerful. They were the most powerful men on the planet at the time. Praise God. Did you know that you have that same power? Brother Steve, you know you got that Holy Ghost power? Come on, what do you call it? He's got the booyah. He's got the booyah. Steve got baptized, came out of that water. The booyah fell right on him. And you know what that, and I got to share this. You know what, it shattered immediately his crystal addiction. Everything that he was addicted, it was immediately delivered. Severed from his soul. You see, the Holy Spirit comes in. You know why people struggle with addiction? Because it's still latched onto their soul. It's like an octopus. Tentacles all over the soul. But Jesus comes with that sword. Whap! And severs it from your soul. And that's why whom the Son sets free is what?
Free.
Free indeed. We're free because of him. Because of the power. Amen?
Amen?
You see, saints, if we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit who empowers you and I. And the empowerment is to help us to be faithful. Faithful to one another. But if we fail and if we grieve the Holy Spirit, he convicts us. He convicts us of sin. So that we can repent. In other words, turn and receive forgiveness. You know God wants to forgive us 24/7? That is the only source of relief between sinful man and a holy God is repentance. That is the antidote. That is what does the job with God, is a heart turning to him and repenting. Now I can use you now. And most people, when they get to that place of repentance, they come to a place where they are sick and tired of being sick and tired of whatever that is, and they want out of that. They want to be free of that. You wanted to be free, brother. So did I. Same thing. I wanted to be free. I was tired. I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to smoke the weed no more. I don't want to do the crisp no more. I don't want to drink no more. I don't want to corral anymore. Jump into other bedrooms. Being unfaithful. I don't want that no more. And then God came in. Hallelujah. Like a rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. And he delivered us. He delivered you. He delivered us. He severed it. And then he gave us a new language. You know, a lot of us think, you know, the prayer tongues. Yeah, that's part of it. But you know what that new language is? The new language is you're not cursing no more. Hallelujah. The new language is speaking with clarity, with wisdom, with friendliness, with kindness, with goodness, with mercy, with grace. That's the new language. Yes. Yes. But the opposite is bleepity, bleepity, bleep back and getting mad for no reason and can't get past y'all prideful self. There's no humility. There's no, let's reason with one another. I need to know why you're mad. Please tell me why you're mad. Explain to me. So we can reason. But some people, no, they just cut you off. I'm done with you. That's not God. Can I say that? Can I say that again? That's not God. That's not God. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. Because if you truly have the love of God, sit down. Tell me why you're mad. Let's talk it out. Because I still love you. I'm always going to love you. But some folks won't give you a time of day. They're done. That's why we can't keep our eyes on men. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Look at this right up here. God has promised to be faithful to us. He's promised that. Thank you, God. Saints, Jesus will always forgive you. Forgive me. Can I get amen? It's right here in Scripture. Look at this. In 1 John. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to what? Forgive us of our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All, everything that we could ever commit. Unrighteousness is basically the opposite of being righteous of the things of God. So what is unrighteousness? The fruit of, I mean, it's the works of the flesh. Anger, clamor, hatred, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentfulness, all these things is the flesh. And it you become an unrighteous person. You could justify that all day long. But you're still unrighteous. Why? Because you don't want nothing to do with your brother no more. You don't want nothing to do with your sister no more. You become unrighteousness. That's unrighteousness before God. Did you know that we're gonna see each other for eternity in heaven? And you can't get along with your brother here? Wow. Something's out of order then. Here. Forgiveness is only possible because Jesus paid our sin debt. He paid it in full. It was the death on the cross. Now God can forgive us because Christ's sacrifice satisfied His justice. He went to the cross to satisfy His justice. Wow. Aren't you so blessed He took it upon Himself? Aren't you so blessed He didn't knock on your door, "I need your son"? Your only son. I said, "No, man, I would have been hanging on Anthony's ankle. Man, no, please don't take him. He's my only son." Some of you have several sons. Here, you can take that one. No. But not that one. But take that one. No. Jesus, help me up here. So those of us who have accepted Jesus can now come to God and receive total forgiveness. Total. Why? Because He is faithful to keep His promise. He's faithful. Let's look at this up here. God's faithfulness limits the power of our temptation. Wow. Woo! You know, if He's faithful and you're faithful to Him, wow. Thank you, God. Honey, see if the AC's on. I think it turned off. I think the one. Oh, somebody wanted it off. Oh, let's put it back on. Let's put it back on. And so, God's faithfulness limits the power of our temptation. It limits it. Look at this. Found in 1 Corinthians right up here. No temptation. Say that with me. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is what? Faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. You see, when you have the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to do the things you once did before you got saved. Before you got saved, man, you just dove in it. Man, I'm going to just drown in this sin. I love it. Whatever it is. But now that you got the power of the Holy Spirit, you go, "Oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to go there no more." No, because He delivered me from that. And then you remind yourself, "No, I'm not. Been there, done that. I'm not going to do that no more." Amen? Look, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you'll be able to what? Endure it. Amen. Aren't you so blessed to know that? That God is with you all the way. He's with you the whole time. He's not going to let you fall into a ditch. Hallelujah. That's right. He's going to scrape you off the ground. Hallelujah. If you do a face plant. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. He's done that for me many times with that spiritual spatula. My face was buried in the ground. Whew. You see, saints, fathers will rely on this promise. If we have to, even if we have to yield to temptation, God has established a limit and provided an escape so that we can endure the enticement without failing God, without falling. Praise God. Let's look at this right up here. Fathers, we can have the peace of God. How many want the peace of God?
Yes.
Whoo! Listen, you know where it starts? Seriously, men, I'm just going to share what works for me. It starts as soon as you get out of bed. As soon as you wake up, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And the first thing I do is look for Yolanda to say hi to her. I look, she's an early riser, so I come and look. And a lot of times I find her over there doing her devotional back there. Hi, honey. Love you, honey. How you doing? And it starts off your day with like how God wants you to start it off. Never go to bed angry and never get up angry. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You go to bed angry, get up angry, you're going to be an angry person. For weeks and weeks and weeks, that anger won't get off you. You got to have the joy of the Lord. Look at this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. So when you're in Christ, he will guard your heart. Can I get amen?
Amen.
That's how much God loves you. He wants to protect you from the wiles of the devil. Do you know that the devil is trickery? He's a trickster. He's cunning. He's a liar, father of lies. He's a slanderer. He wants to shoot darts at you. Never be a person of assumption. This is what I think they think. They may not even be thinking that at all. Can I get an amen to that? Never do that. You'll just torment your own mind. This is what I think they think. Think of someone good. Just think of goodness toward them. Whoever comes to mind, pray for them. Think, you know what? If someone comes to your mind, God wants you to just pray for them. Say, you know what, Lord? You brought this person to my mind. Oh, God, Lord, I lift up this person right now. Lord, I pray for them. Wellness and goodness and faithfulness. Start praying. Pray God's will. Can I get amen? Don't look like, oh man, why am I thinking of this person? No. God placed them in your mind to pray for them to relieve you from that anguish, whatever anguish you have toward them. Can I get amen? Saints, if we bring our anxieties to the Lord in prayer, we can receive his peace even in the midst of trying situations. You know what? I'm so blessed. Every time we went to pray for you, there she was. She never left your side. Constantly. This is a faithful wife, faithful sister. In the midst of a horrible situation. And God is faithful. It will guard our hearts and minds and keeps us from giving up hope or blaming and accusing God. You ever got so mad that you wanted to accuse God? And God didn't do nothing. Why are you mad at God? He's going to fix it right now if you hold on. That's right. Let's look at this right up here. The Holy Spirit limits the power of Satan in our lives. Woo! How many is glad to know that? Hallelujah. Just imagine an unbeliever. Unbeliever man gets bombarded by Satan 24/7. But God, you know what? Refrains old slew foot from you. Oh, that's right. He keeps him at bay. Why? Because God don't want you to be destroyed. Because you know what? Did you know that we as born-again believers, there's a mark on us now? And the enemy sees us coming. You know when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the enemy sees you coming. A lot of them just cut and run. They go, oh, no, no. There's power here. Power. You see, Satan is under God's control, and he does not have the freedom to do whatever he desires in our lives. He doesn't. Unless you give him access. Four promises can enable us to face whatever challenges come our way because we can count on the faithfulness of God. We may not understand our situation at times, saints. How many have been in a predicament you can't figure it out? Man, why is this happening, God? Why is this happening now, God? Why, God? But God allows it. He didn't do it. He allows it. Well, you know why? Because he's going to get glory out of the situation when he does something mighty and awesome. He's setting you up. I love it. I like how he sets you up. All right, watch what I'm going to do now because you gave it to me. After we took it, you know, how many of you have come to the altar here or anyone's altar and left your petition there? You left, oh, God, take care of it. Oh, God, I need it. And then when no one's looking, we come back and pick it up again. I don't see you moving, God. I want to take care of it. We take it back, don't we? No, God said, leave it there. Because he's going to do it in his time. It may take 40 days. But he's going to do it his time. Can I get an amen? Listen. God has all of eternity. We only got so many years on this earth. I'd rather trust the one that's faithful, who lives into eternity, where we're going to see him face to face. How many can't wait to see him face to face? One day we're going to see him face to face, and we're going to see him who he is, and we're going to be changed, and we're going to be just like him. And so we may not understand our situation at times, but we can trust in the one, number one, who forgives our sins, limits our temptations, gives us peace in troubled times, and controls Satan's access to us. Man, what a mighty God. Huh? You can't get that at AAA. Whatever, AA. All I know is, and listen, all I know is they're the 10 step people. Oh, AA, okay. NAA, all right. Yeah, 10 step, right? You got 12 step. Oh, you get, throw in two more then. 12 step. Okay, I'm here to let you know we only need one step to Jesus. Can I get an amen? It takes one step, hallelujah, for full deliverance. Thank you, God. You can keep your 12 steps. I'm going to just take one. And so let's look at this right up here. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and what? Protect you from what? The evil one. Protect. Man, let me tell you. If you don't think the devil's real, think again. The devil's real. I mean, just look at what goes on in our neighborhoods. People getting shot and killed and robbed and for no reason. But God is faithful. God is faithful. And so these tests reveal the areas of weakness. See, God, don't you love when God allows us to go through trials? You know why? Because look at it like this. It's a time of testing. He loves to test you and I. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Let's look at this right up here. Fathers, when we walk in the Spirit, we'll have the following characteristics. Listen, what are the characteristics you could think of before I put them up? What can you think of right now? Characteristics that God wants you to have. Okay, good. Let's look at this. Devoted to God, number one. Loyal, unwavering, steadfast, trustworthy, dependable, obedient, and then faithful. Fathers, that's what God is looking for us men, the priests of the home, to be. Because you guess what? If we do it God's way, men, the wives will follow. Say that again. The wives will follow. Because it's the man that leads. Say that again. You know, I've heard it said like this. I wear the pants in my house, but she tells me what color. Okay. But you know what? If you learn to be the priest of the home, I'm seriously, you learn to be the priest of the home, you walk with these characteristics in your life, you'll have your wife eating out of the palm of your hand. You know why? Because she'll see this and she'll know that I can trust my husband because he loves you, God, and he's loving me no differently. But when it's opposite of that, it becomes out of alignment. Unbalanced, out of alignment. It's not according to the will of God. The will of God is God, then the man, then the wife, then the child. That's the order of God. You know God's a God of order? He's a God of order. And if she's on the top, you need to... restructure that. Can I get amen? How many of you want to be blessed? Men, you want to have a blessed household? Then man up. And be the priest of the home. Because when they see that... you are the priest of the home and you're that example, man, they're going to love you and hold on to you and say, man, I love this man because he loves you, God. Your Father's Day card, what you wrote for me, it was out of your heart. I know that. You just didn't put empty words in there. Thank you, God. No, seriously. She did that because she loves me. And she knows I treat her with the utmost respect and care. And Ben, many of you in here do the same. I know that. I know that many of you in here do the same. So don't stop. Don't stop. And so let's look at being fruitful. Listen, one of the ways that men, as we come in for a close, is to be fruitful. We need to be fruitful. Our lives will have a positive influence on others if we learn to be what? Fruitful. Look what Jesus said. I love Jesus when he gives you those little parables and those little stories, right? Let's look at this. Look at this in John 15:1. Look at this. Follow me with this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he promises that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Here is the key, men. Abide in me, and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. This is the problem. When you see marriages that are falling apart, somebody is not in the vine. Hello? Someone has detached themselves from the vine. You're no longer getting nutrients from the vine dresser. Look at Jesus going on to say, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, look at this, bears what? Some fruit? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Look at that. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire. And they are burned. Wow. But look what he says. If you, notice something that we have to do. If you, so we have a choice in life, men. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is what? Glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. You want to be known as the disciples of Christ? Yeah. Then stay in the vine. Yeah. Can I get amen? Amen. Stay in the vine. Yeah. Because if you drop off like a rotten apple, that's all you're going to be, a rotten apple to many folks. Stay on the good foot. Come on. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in what? His love. That's Jesus abiding in his love. Look at what he says here in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. Listen, if you're walking around like you ate a saladito, or you ate some prune juice or lemon juice, where is the Holy Ghost? When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, man, you're going to have joy. Man, you're going to always have a smile for someone. Rarely are you ever going to be in a disposition. You won't have that bad attitude, but why are you mad dogging me? Come on. No, man, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, man, you got hope with the joy and love and peace. Your mind's at peace with God. And when it's at peace with God, you're at peace with one another. Oh, yeah, come on. Look at this. These things that I have spoken, that my joy may remain in you. Look at this. And that your joy may be full. Who wants to be full of God's joy? Hallelujah. Stay in the vine. Just stay in the vine. Can I get amen? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Can you honestly say this, husbands? You have laid down your life for your wife. That you have laid down your life for your children. Because it's all about how Christ laid down his life for the church. We men have to lay down our life for our families. Can I get amen? Yes. And show them the love of God. Show them the love of Christ. Praise God. I'm glad today's Father's Day. So we can build you up, man. Amen. Look at verse 15. No longer do I call you servants. Look at Jesus. You look at this. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're my friend. Come on, turn to the other side. And if you get a wall, tell the wall. Look at this. It says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father and I have made known to you. Look, this is how good God is. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father, my name, he will give to you. These things I commanded you, that you love what?
One another.
Man, see, this is something else, isn't it? When you start learning and getting a hold of what God is in your life, who he is and what he's done for you and what he's doing in you and what he's about to do for you. Look at John 15:2. Look at this. Every branch of me that does not bear, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. Listen, men, there are times when he prunes us. It don't feel good. Sometimes, you know what pruning is? He's taking away that excess in your life. Stuff you don't need. Yeah, he's trimming you up. Right? Why does he take those things that disable you? Because he wants to continue to enable you. He wants you to continue to love him. To love one another. This is why God does. Look, I found some photos here of these. Look at this. Well, let's look at this. Enter the vine dresser. Takes away means to lift up. New branches trail along the ground, but they can't bear fruit because when it rains, they can get muddy, mildewed, sick, and barren. Vine dresser doesn't throw them away. They still have value. He lifts and washes in 1 John 15:3. Then secures them to the trellis so that they can thrive again. Look at this. Look at this right up here. How many have seen a grapevine before? So this is a guy, he's attending to his vine right there. And then, when you attend to it properly, look what's coming forth. Fruit. This is what God wants in our life. And what is that? All those clusters of grapes represent? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. God wants you to be a giant cluster of grapes. Just remember that. Do a mind picture in your mind, a picture mind. Just remember that. I need to be a cluster of grapes today, all day long. Love, joy, peace, love. Come on. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Look at this. And then he's got to prune it. Ooh. He's got to cut a bit. Look, there's no fruit on it no more, right? So when the fruit's gone, he's got to prune it. Cut it back. And those are the things we have to allow God, man, to remove from us. You got a little bit of that going on. You got a little bit of that too much going on. Don't pick that up and drink that again. You got stuff, I need to take that away so you could bear fruit. Can I get amen? Sometimes when you see a picture like this, you could what? See the parallel to it. Look at Ezekiel 3:20. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall what? Die. So notice that, let's go back to this. Look at that. There's nothing alive other than the branches, right? All the fruit's gone. So he's got to prune that. So let's go back to Ezekiel. It says, again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you do not give him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Wow. Fathers, this is why God is telling us to remain faithful. Just remain faithful. Can I get amen? If you remain faithful, he'll remain faithful to us. And your families will be the benefactors. Your families will be the benefactors of men's faithfulness. Can I get amen? Pray for those who have husbands. I'm talking in all churches, not just here on Amazing Grace, but everywhere, whose husbands are not sitting down with their wife in church, or their wives not sitting down with their husbands in church. Pray for them. Because something is not right. Can I get amen? Amen. You got to pray for them. Because it's out of order. It needs to be in order. Hallelujah. And God wants to fix those small little details in our heart. They're all issues of our heart. And a lot of times, we just got to get that pride out. You know pride will keep you away from the blessings of God? It'll give you your own self-righteous mind. Your pride. And God's not even thinking of that at all. Wow. So Ezekiel concerns what's in the law. Today's believer is not under law, but under grace. Aren't you so blessed that we're under grace? Amen. Grace says, okay, I see your failure, but come on. I'm going to pick you up, dust you off. Let's keep going. Yes, amen. The law wanted to stone you. Take you to the front of the gate. Find the biggest boulders. And that's where they're going to have a rock concert. Oh, that's right. It won't be Led Zeppelin out there. You're going to get stoned to death. And it's not with hookah bombs. Oh, come on. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Come on. Ezekiel 18:4 says, look, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are what? Under law, under grace. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You know that sin should never have dominion over us anymore? Will we fall in it? Will we make mistakes? Yes, yes, yes. But do we have to stay in it? No, no, no. God made a way. Get out. Get out of it. All right, come on. Let me clean you up. I need you to get out. How many times has he come by to save the old bacon? Huh? Oh, yes, he has. Look at this. The law demanded perfect human righteousness and condemned every sin. That was the law. The law did. Look what Ezekiel wrote here in 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Yes, the soul that sins shall die. I need you to catch that for a moment. That's what God's word says. The soul that sins shall die, right? So, we needed someone to save us from that. And who was the one that came to save us from dying? Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, in the Old Testament, hallelujah, Jesus was just a foreshadow. He was what was to come, because bulls and goats and turtle doves could only temporarily take away your sin. Hallelujah. But we needed something that was permanent. Can I get an amen? Something, hallelujah, that was going to come from heaven, that was going to be a man, hallelujah, like you and I. Hallelujah. He felt the pain. He felt everything that you and I have ever gone through in life. He felt our emotional scars. He felt our relationships that we sometimes fail one another. He felt all that, our sicknesses. And he took it to the cross. Can I get amen? And then he shed his blood for you and I. Can I get amen? And that's why we don't have to die no more. Can I get amen? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Look what Paul wrote. Paul wrote to the Roman church here. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, but much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, abounded to who?
Many.
To many. And look what he goes on to say. And the gift is not like that which came through one who sinned, like Adam. For the judgments which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. So, because of Adam and Eve, God condemned the world. Can I get amen? So there was a debt sentence on mankind. Hallelujah. But we need that governor's call. Hallelujah. We need that governor's call at the midnight hour before the execution took place. Hallelujah. And what was that call? It was Jesus that said, ha, I got them. I got them. Hallelujah. You don't have to kill them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more like those receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through who? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our Savior. Look at this. Therefore, as the one man's offense, judgment came to all men through Adam and Eve, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift to all men resulted in justification of life. That means salvation to the world. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. We were made sinners through Adam and Eve. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has made you righteous.
God has made you righteous.
And then say this, by his blood.
By his blood.
Woo, by his blood. Thank you, God. Come on, give God a shout. Give God a shout. So in closing, saints, the only salvation God offers is us is eternal what?
Salvation.
Eternal salvation. It ain't temporary. You know, some of you have gift cards that expire. Some of you get mailings from Costco, but they expire if you don't go and get your deal. God will never expire on us. Can I get amen? God is there for us. Look at this in Hebrews 5:9. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all. Okay, here it goes. To all who? Here's where it's really simple, saints. And I'm speaking to those on YouTube and Facebook right now. And to all of us in here, that word obey, that means that obeying the gospel, obeying what Christ did on the cross, obeying by asking God to forgive you of your sin, that God will cleanse you and wash you, and that God will allow you to become born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's when you come into full obedience, when you obey the salvation message. Oh God, I repent of my sins. Oh God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Oh God, I ask you to wash me in your blood now, God. God, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. When you come to that place with God, that's when it becomes obedient to God. Disobedience is going through your whole life without that. And unfortunately, Jesus, do a word search. Next time you get a chance, Google search. Just Google it. Google search that God, that Jesus mentions hell more than he does heaven. Hell is mentioned in the Bible more times than heaven. Why is it mentioned more times? Because he wants to keep us from that horrible place. He came to die for us. He came to die for your sin. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. I'm going to close with these couple of questions here. Number one, well, Christ is our Savior. He's not a probation officer. Can I say amen?
Amen.
For those of you who know what a probation officer is, no, he's our Savior. He's our Savior. Look at number one. How confident are you that you can trust the Lord in every circumstance? Every circumstance. Can you be known to God that you can be trusted in everything that comes your way? Number two, in what ways has he demonstrated his faithfulness in your life? Hey, Ben, you guys want to play something soft? You guys want to play something soft? In what ways has he demonstrated his faithfulness in your life? For me, I would have a list on this screen that I won't have no room on all the things that he's done for me. But one thing that comes to mind where he has demonstrated faithfulness is our marriage. He's been faithful in our marriage. And we've been faithful to one another for 28 years. And I hope he gives us several more. So that we can continue to demonstrate the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Look at number three. How faithful are you to other people in your life? How faithful? Brother, what was that third song you guys played here?
His name is Jesus.
Yeah, his name is Jesus? Okay. When I give an invitation to receive Christ, I would love for them to sing that song again, His Name is Jesus, in full. And we're just going to worship the King. Amen. I just felt we need to worship Him. Amen. Look at number four. How faithful are you to the Lord? Are you faithful to Him? Are you faithful to Him? If you're watching right now on Facebook and YouTube, and maybe you logged in by accident, or maybe you purposely turned on your app on your phone, or maybe you're YouTubing us on your television, whatever the case may be, God has a blessing for you. God wants to save you if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you may receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And it's a simple act of obedience. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is he worthy? Oh, yes. Come on, brother, lead us into that song. His name is Jesus.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.